And friends, we turn now to the Gospel of Matthew, to a familiar story, particularly one that we read frequently at this time of year. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We hear the story each year that it begins to kind of lose its absurdity, you know? It really is absurd to think that a girl, 12, 13, maybe 14, was tasked with mothering God. It's also ridiculous that I, for one, don't really blame Joseph at all for planning to dismiss Mary, as Matthew put it. I mean, your fiancé tells you she's pregnant, and you know you're not the father. There's an easy conclusion to draw. But the angel comes to Joseph with yet another absurd message. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She's pregnant with a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. We're so used to reading this story that the absurdity, it's worn off a bit. But not only is Joseph supposed to believe that Mary didn't cheat on him, he's supposed to believe that the boy she's carrying is divine. And oh yeah, Joseph, if that's not enough, bud, you don't even get to name the kid yourself. It's strange, but you know, ever since I became a father, it's that part of the story that actually bothers me the most. Mary and Joseph didn't even get to pick the name of their child. I remember choosing names with Melissa when she was expecting. It was one of our favorite things to talk about each time. We talked about what names she liked, what names I liked, talked about family names, family connections, and we talked about the meaning of names. That last one, it was particularly important to me, the meaning of a name. And it played a significant role in the three names we chose for our three kids. Matthew means a gift from God, and he is. Abigail means a father's joy, and she is. And Jason is a derivative of a Hebrew name that means God saves, and certainly God does that. Now, I don't do this anymore. Jason has largely been spared this. He's our little guy. But when Matthew and Abby were little, I would ask them all the time, poor kids, "Hey, what does your name mean?" Matthew would say, "A gift from God." And Abby would pipe in, "And mine's a father's joy." And it got so old that Jason, again, he's been spared. But It's a strange thing, I know, a father to ask this of their kids, but it was important to me that my kids know what their names mean and that their names reflect their reality. They are gifts from God. They are sources of joy. God does save them. And then there's my name, Robert. As far as I can tell, it means something like of fame. But I have no idea what that really means. I mean, clearly I'm not famous. But that doesn't mean I don't like my name. Or better said, I like why I was named Robert, after my mother's father, to whom I was particularly close. It's a connection I particularly cherish now that he's gone. But that's me and Melissa and our kids. How about you? Do you like your name?
Yes.
Well, good. Do you like the story behind your name? Is there a story behind your name? Do you know the meaning of your name? Or perhaps you may have not known the meaning, but like a connection that it makes into your family.
Yes.
And parents, what about the names of your kids? Are there stories or reasons that you gave your child the name that you did? Does your child know that story? But if not, please don't feel bad. Don't feel as if you should know what your name means or what your kid's name means. Please know there doesn't have to be a reason behind your kid's name, behind anything deeper or bigger other than the fact that you like that name. I recognize that I'm a bit strange about this. You could say I'm a name geek. It's an interest that actually picked up in seminary, because it was then that I learned the importance of biblical characters' names and the meaning behind them, and how, especially in the Old Testament, the meaning behind a biblical character's name tended to reflect the reality that that character would experience and live out. This is why, according to the Gospel of Matthew, the angel doesn't even give Mary and Joseph a say. You will name the boy Jesus, because like it or not, his job is saving people from their sins. No family name, no favorite nickname, not Junior, not Bud. You will name him Jesus. Period. End of discussion. Now, it's far from clear in our English translations, but the name Jesus is actually derived from the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua in Hebrew literally means God saves. So when the angel tells Mary and Joseph to name their child Jesus, he's saying, the name of your son will be God saves, because that's what he will do. He will save people from their sins. And not just that, Matthew goes on to connect the name Jesus with the prophecy of Isaiah, who predicted that the young woman would one day bear a son and that they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we have Jesus, God saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. So suffice it to say, Matthew is making brutally clear and right up front that this ain't no ordinary child. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is Jesus, God saves us, God with us to save us. Now, if you don't mind, bear with me for one more moment as I finish getting my name geek on. I want you to notice one more thing, just one more about these names. Emmanuel means God with us. It's important to note, it doesn't mean God was with us. It doesn't mean God will one day be with us. It means God is with us, present tense. Similarly, Jesus, it doesn't mean God will one day save us. God will save us when we die so we can get into heaven. It doesn't mean that God has saved us, past tense, that God saved us once before, one sin long ago or something. No, it means God saves, present tense, and that's not coincidence. That's incredibly intentional. And that all mean something incredibly important to you and to me this morning. Advent's journey into Christmas, it's not just about what happened 2,000 years ago, and it's not just about what will happen at the end of time when God's will is fulfilled. No, Advent's journey into Christmas is also very much about what God is doing today. Emmanuel, Jesus, God is with us to save us. Now, ironically, at Christmas time, this can get awfully hard to remember, can it? In the holiday season, it brings so much stress, so much busyness, just as it can also bring up fresh griefs and struggles amid a season that might no longer feel as full or joyful as it once did. And if we're being honest, I honestly think the message of what God is still doing, it even tends to get lost in the pretty little manger scenes that we recreate that try to turn the incarnation of God into a sort of fairy tale or a memory from a storybook. Because it's not. Christmas is not a fairy tale, nor is it simply a memory of what God once did 2,000 years ago. No, when we celebrate Emmanuel, God is with us. We celebrate how God is still choosing to be with and among the grieving and the lonely and the broken and the marginalized, wherever they may be. And when we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, God saves us. We celebrate the promise that God loves us too much not to come to us, offering us salvation not once long ago, not one day in the future, but salvation at every turn, at every break, at every grief, at every need, at every hope. If we but have the faith to trust where God is and what God is doing. Emmanuel. God is with us, Jesus. God saves us again and again and again and again. So this season, friends, let us celebrate the present reality that is Christmas, knowing it need not be the end of December to celebrate God's intrusion into the world for you and for me and for all, because God loves us too much to live apart from us. The hope, the love, the joy, now the peace we are given is named Emmanuel. Jesus, God is with us. God saves us now and always. Amen.